Well, good evening to all of you. I do greet you in Jesus' name this evening, the Lord of the church. And I'm thankful to be here tonight in his name. I think we're all here tonight because we love the church and we want to build the church. So that's what our subject is about tonight. This is my first time worshiping with you all here at Kirkwood. I do see some familiar faces, some that are not familiar. But I do want to invite you to come to Altoona and worship with us. We do have a, I was curious to see if the brother was going to say 4th Avenue or Altoona. But I remembered that this is where Sister Chanel is from, so she's probably brought you all up to speed on what you should call our church. And I'm sure you've seen it in the bulletin as well. But I do invite you to come. We have plenty of room now. So come join us and worship with us. Like I said, I'm happy to be here tonight and share on the topic assigned to me, Youth, the Church of Today. And just as a caveat to the message before we go into it, I feel like I'm a little bit at a disadvantaged spot to share on a subject to youth or to parents, because I feel like I'm a little bit in the middle. My wife and I are not invited to youth things anymore. We have 4 children, the oldest being 8. So we have moved past what many of us would call youth. But our oldest is 8, so we don't have children in the youth category yet, so we're a little disconnected on what the youth are doing as far as what's cool, I guess. If we could use that word. Maybe we're a little out of touch. So I think that must mean we're in the middle. But I am very close to the youth category in the way that I view myself and the way that I think about myself. I'm not too far on this side of it. But I'm excited about this subject tonight because I love the church and I love the kingdom of God. And I love to see the kingdom grow and to expand and to be built and to see it encompass the globe. That is my heart. So I'm happy to be here tonight and to talk to you about truths in God's word that lead to kingdom expansion. As I think about my circle of influence and what I'm able to accomplish in the few years that God has me here, I don't know what that is. But as I think about if we can inspire our children, our youth around us, how much larger that circle of influence can become and how big that can grow. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 78 for a starting point tonight. I want to read the first 8 verses and use this as a springboard for our thoughts this evening. Psalm 78, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." That's why we're here tonight, brothers and sisters. We care a lot about the generation to come. It's important to us. We want our children to arise, what verse 6 says. Arise and to declare. That's what we want of our children. We have a keen interest in communicating the wonderful works of God to the next generation. And it's our prayer that as our children who are sitting beside us on the benches today, as they grow and mature, that they could become pillars in the kingdom of God, and that they would be servants in his kingdom, and that they would love the Lord, and they would give their lives to him. I think that's all of our prayer tonight. We want them to place their hope in God. We don't want them to forget the works of God. We want them to keep his commandments. That's what the passage here says. Tonight, this is our only hope of success, of spiritual success. Yes, we can have a lot of success in life, but if our children do not grow up to love and serve God, then what did we actually accomplish? And youth tonight, I want to encourage you to keep on being faithful. The church needs you tonight. The church must have you to go on. And I just want to mention something right here in the beginning. You need the church as well. The church needs you, but you need the church. As I alluded to earlier, we can kind of categorize the church into three different groups. And I see this taught here in verse 3 and 4 of the passage. It says, which we have heard and known of our fathers, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. So you can see the three groups of people, those who have come before, those who are in the middle now, and those who will come. I'm just going to write those up here on the board. Do we have some markers, Brother Dave? Here we go. We'll refer to this later. Let's put it here in three different categories. One being the youth, which is what we're thinking about tonight. Two, the middle age, those who are teaching children today. And then I'm going to call the third one the experienced. Let's think about youth for just a moment. Well, what are we talking about when we say youth? Well, the youth, as Webster defines it, as the time of life when one is young, the period between childhood and maturity. And youth is such a beautiful stage of life. There's so much potential. There's so much excitement about what life might hold. Maybe we say that we're in our prime when we're in our youth. Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. And it's sad to see how quickly this can fade. I'm not very old, but when I go to do an exercise or to lift something, I realize that I'm not 20 anymore. That is past. Although I have a lot of energy and vigor left. But thinking about youth, there's a lot of freedom in this stage. There's not a lot of responsibility. You can pick up and go to Bible school for a couple weeks. You can go teach school. You can do a lot of things. And there's a lot of vision and energy. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of ideals, and that's all wonderful. But let me just point out that there's not a lot of experience in this stage of life. You haven't seen a lot of life yet. I haven't seen all of life yet. I haven't seen very much of life yet. So we need to keep that in mind as we are in the young stage. In this youth stage, tonight for the topic, I think it can extend into marriage even. Extend the youth stage into marriage. Before children come, I think about when my wife and I were newly married. We didn't have children for almost 5 years after we were married. And there was a very free time of life. Donald and Linda were house parents in Bangladesh, and Linda's father passed away. And the board asked my wife and I to go to Bangladesh and fill in for them. And I think in less than 48 hours from the time the brother died, my wife and I were on an airplane. We were headed for Bangladesh. We just didn't have a lot of responsibility tying us down. We could go, and it's a blessing. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about youth. Let's think about the middle age for a little bit. These are where I find myself, my wife and I find ourselves now. We're raising family. It's a busy time of life, and there's a lot of pressure in this time of life. At least that's how I experience. Well, that's my experience anyway. There's financial obligations. There's church responsibilities. There's not just a lot of space in life right now to be able to pick up and go to a mission field or go to another place. There's a lot of blessings in this stage of life as well. I want to quickly add that. But there's not a lot of flexibility. This is often a stage of gaining some experience. When you have children, obviously they don't come with a manual. You're learning how to raise children as you do it. I'm sure some of you young fathers can relate to that aspect of life. Learning as you go. And some of these pressures tend to tap into those reserves of vision and energy that we had just a few years ago. We start to wear down, become tired a little bit. Some of those ideals that we had, we sort of look back on them with sheepish grin and think, wow, I just didn't know very much back then. But we're learning, and it's a wonderful time of life. And then there's what I'm going to call the experienced phase of life. And I don't see very many older folks here, but these are the ones who have raised or mostly raised their children. Some of the financial pressures coming off. There's a little bit more space in life again. And this is an age group that can give a lot of helpful advice to those of us who are coming behind them. They've been down these paths before. They sort of know what life is some of the pressures that life has, and they can advise us. And I think we're here tonight in the interest of the church. And I think it's beautiful how all three of these come together in the church. And they can be a benefit to each other. This is God's design to bring these groups together. And there's not one group that's elevated above the other because we need them all to make church life happen. We're all incomplete. We all have needs. And the church is where we can find help in those needs. A while back, I had a class down at Bible school, and we discussed some of the core needs of humanity. And as I studied for this subject, I reached back to them because I was thinking about the subject of youth, obviously, and how in youth, it's often a time of figuring out, where am I headed in life? Where am I going? What do I want to pursue? And I want to write those needs that every human has up here on the board so we can think about them. We have an eraser here. I'll leave those up for right now. Obviously, the core need of all humanity is salvation. We all have the sin problem, but thinking about our social needs. And the first one is security. We all have this have a need to feel secure in life. The second one is identity. The third one is belonging, closely related to security. Fourth one is purpose. And the fifth one is competence. So security means, who can I trust? Who are the people around me that I can trust? Identity is, who am I? Belonging is the need for acceptance. Who wants me? And of course, purpose is why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And competence is, what do I do well? We all want to feel like we do something well. And I'd like for us to think about this in the context of our youth this evening. Youth, I think if you look at your life, I think you can see that, yeah, you can connect with these. That yes, I do have these needs in my life. I know that I have these needs in my life. And a question I would ask us older folks is, the church the place that the youth can find the answers to these questions in life? Can they trust the brotherhood? When they're facing a struggle in life, when they're facing a temptation, can they come to another brother or sister in the church and share what they're struggling with in open accountability and trust, knowing that that is going to be kept confidential and that they're going to find help for that need? Can they find their identity here? Is this a place that they want to identify with? Do they feel belonging? Do they feel acceptance here? Or is it a place that they always feel like they're being looked at or scorned? Do they fit in? Can they find purpose here? Can they find purpose for life in this brotherhood? And can their gifts be cultivated and be a blessing to the group here? I just remind us that these are core needs of humanity, and we'll find these somewhere. If we don't find them within the brotherhood, we'll find them somewhere. Maybe it's at the ski slope, or maybe it's at the, I don't know what you all have around here. Maybe it's at the rodeo, or maybe it's at the, you fill in the blank. They'll find people that accept them. They'll find people that recognize that they contribute something, and they will feed that, and they'll find their acceptance and belonging there. So just a challenge to the church. Are we meeting these needs? Now, coming back to the three different age groups that I wrote up on the board, and I wrote them as categories. I don't want to think about them as divisions. And that's for a reason tonight, because tonight the church is not divided into three age categories. It's comprised of three age categories. And we want to think about it as a group. It's not us and them. And we know that Paul compares the church to a body. Let's just turn there and read those verses. They're so beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's just read the three verses here. 1 Corinthians 12. Start reading in verse 18 through 21. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So it's easy for us to start separating ourselves into separate social units within the church. And we can start slipping off into our own little worlds where the youth are over here doing their thing, and the older folks are over here doing their thing, and the middle-aged folks, they're busy with raising families, and they're sort of at the grind off to the other side. It's easy for that to happen. And then these two separate worlds, or these three separate worlds, if you want to look at it that way, start to develop. And then you have this world over here. Maybe I just draw it on the board. You have this world over here that's the youth. There's a lot of things going on over here in their world. And then we'll just call the over here, we'll call it the rest of the church. Going on over here, and the youth, they have their world of volleyball or whatever. You youth could fill that in for me better than I can fill in myself. And the rest of the church is over here, maybe doing outreach or whatever it might be. And there can be this division, this separation, and then there comes a conflict between these two groups, and we're on completely separate pages. And when there becomes a conflict, out come the cannons, and we start shooting at each other because we're not at all together in this. And that's tragic when that happens, when the youth become bitter with the church, and then they're just sort of off to the side, and this fight starts to happen back and forth. But the church is one body. We're together in this. So I just challenge you youth, reach out to the older people in the congregation. They have a lot of wisdom and advice for us in life. Talk to them. Make conversation. And your church is small, so I'm sure that happens here. And I think that's wonderful when there's not a ton of people for it to get diluted. But the same thing of the older people. Let's talk to the youth about what's going on in their lives. What are they facing? What are the challenges that they're up against? And let's take an interest in them, in their projects, in their hobbies, the things that they're doing. Let's take an interest in that and bring that common ground together. 1 Corinthians 12 says here, the eye cannot say, I have no need of you. That's what can happen when there's conflict. The older folks can look at the youth and say, well, if they would just straighten up, then it would just be a lot better. We just don't really need that carrying on around here. Instead of reaching out to them and trying to figure out what's going on in their life. And I'm speaking to myself in that. And to the younger ones, we can't just say, well, those old folks are just not up to date. They don't understand what it's like to be in this culture, in this world. If they could just get out of the way, then maybe we could get something done for once. Can't say that either. Younger ones can't. We see this happening a lot in our culture, where you have this divide between the older and the younger. With what I do for work in garage doors, I talk to a lot of people, a lot of older people, and they just wring their hands with the condition of society. Well, no one wants to work anymore, and it's this long sob story about the state of society, and I understand why they say that. It is a little bit disappointing. But in the church, let's not be frustrated with each other. Let's work together and to build the church. In our society, we see the older folks who are discouraged with the younger generation, and then we also see the lack of respect for authority in the younger generation to the older generation. Let's make sure that doesn't happen here in our church as well, in our body. The church must function as the body of Christ, and there must be mutual respect for each other. So tonight, I know our subject is the youth, the church of today, but I don't think we can look at the youth without noticing that there's more to the church today than just youth. And I know that those of you who assigned the subject know that. But to illustrate this point, I thought about the way gears work together. And I thought about this because of my occupation. We work with gears a lot. We put sprockets and chains to speed things up, slow things down. But it's beautiful the way those gears work together. We have a lot of electric tools today, but I brought one along this evening that is not electric, but it's an old tool that uses some simple gearing. It's an old drill, and there's obviously two different sized gear on this tool. This one here in the middle is a smaller gear, and this outside one is a larger gear. And this drill has a 4-to-1 ratio. So for every crank of this gear, this one turns 4 times. And I thought about youth, the church of today, and how the church functions and how this drill functions. And I'd like to consider that maybe the youth are the smaller gear, and maybe the older folks are the larger gear. Because as I said earlier, as youth, we have a lot of energy. We have a lot of vision. We have a lot of let's get things done. So, like I said, this for every crank of this outside handle, this turns 4 times. So this part is moving a lot faster than this part. But when these two gears work together, the younger tied in with the older, there's a stability that happens in this drill. A lot can be accomplished by this drill when these two gears work together in harmony. If you would take either one of these gears out of this drill, this would be a non-functioning tool. Nothing would happen. If there was no youth, this gear could just sit here and go all day, and this would never turn. If you take this gear out, then this one here would just sit here all day and nothing would happen. But when these two come together, A lot can happen. Four times for every revolution. Think about that in church life, how that might work out. As we look at some of the churches around us, I don't know how many churches you have around here, but in Altoona at least, we can see what happens when there's no youth. There's a lot of churches that are starting to come on the market. They're for sale. Big old churches. Churches that held 300 to 400 people back in the 60s and 70s are down to, there's one not too far from our house that I think seats around 400, and I think it's down to maybe 20 members, 15, 20 members, and all of them are age 65 and older, something like that. It's a sad scene when there's no youth. We were recently able to purchase a building for that reason. There just wasn't enough people there to keep the doors open, keep the lights on. And it's so sad to see that in churches. But tonight I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to have our benches full of children and youth that can carry on the church. Well, I do want to think about some practical ways that the youth can build the church today. I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. It's a very simple verse. It says, I love them, this is God speaking, I love them that love me. That's a pretty simple concept to grasp. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So tonight, there's a lot of things as youth that we can seek. We can look for a lot of things in life. And it can be business, it can be our hobbies, it can be sports, it can be many, many things that we can seek. But my challenge to you, my heart to you tonight is seek God early while you're in youth. Seek God. Seek Him with your whole heart. Another place in I think it's Jeremiah, it says, seek the Lord with your whole heart. Seek and ye shall find. Psalm 71 verse 5 says, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. Again, the challenge is to seek God while we're young. Set those patterns in our lives that we seek God, where we study His word. We love the church. Establish those patterns early in life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn there. It's familiar verses, but Paul writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure conscience. I'm sorry, out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Seek God early. That's a way you can build the church today. Flee the youthful lust, the things that the youth want to, that the Satan would like to distract youth with. Flee from those things, but he gives us a list of things to follow after. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of things in life that are in our youth that are calling for our attention, that are trying to distract us. Let's make sure we seek God early and pursue Him. And when we're seeking Him and pursuing Him with our whole heart, there's not a lot of room for the other things in life that want to drag us down. Let's remember that. The second way that the youth can build the church of today, and that is, I just titled this point, Step Up to the Plate. Lamentations 3, verse 27 says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. As youth, it's easy to just kind of come up behind, especially in our church setting, to just come up behind our parents. We don't have to rock the boat too much. We can just sort of fall into line behind mom and dad. And we can just come sit on these benches. We've been here since we were little. And it's just sort of the next thing to do. But I just challenge you as youth to step up to the plate. Step up into responsibility. When you're asked to have devotions, Let's not think of all the reasons why we don't want to have devotions and give those as excuses, but let's say, sure, I want to be used in that way. When there's this phone call for teaching school, school board chairman, how many no's do you get before you get someone that says yes? It can be a long list sometimes, and there's legitimate reasons to say no, for sure. But let's step up to the plate, youth. There's a lot of responsibilities we can fill. New York for Jesus, going to Bible school. There's a long list of opportunities that are available today. Even a change from when I was in the youth just a few short years ago. There's opportunities all over the place. And I challenge you as youth to step up to the plate, whether it's Tuesday evening Bible study with the children or whatever it may be. There's lots of opportunities. Don't just wait for someone else to fill that spot. Step up and fill that in. This is maybe more of a challenge point, but remember that freedom equals responsibility. It's easy to forget that in youth. We finally get to youth and we think, wow, now I can go with the youth, I can do what I want to do, find some freedom. One of the memories I have from my youth is getting my driver's license. I'm sure many of you remember that day you got your driver's license. And I grew up in Maryland, so I got my driver's license the day I turned 16. You could do that there. Of course, we had a small farm. I had been driving a lot already. But we went through that 2 weeks of driver's education every evening. Of course, we got 40 hours of driving in with mom and dad. And then the day came that I think it was my mom took me to the driver's license center and took my driver's test, passed it. We drove home together, and I dropped my mom off. And I was working at the time, and I still remember driving down that road the first time without mom or dad in the car. I was driving by myself down the road. That long-anticipated day was finally here. There was no one there to tell me you're going too fast, or your turn signal's on, or you're too close to that car, back away. I could just do whatever I wanted. But with that freedom comes a tremendous responsibility. I drove past cars carrying people. And if I didn't stay in my lane and I drifted over into their lane and caused an accident, that was my responsibility. Yes, I had the freedom, but I also had a responsibility to go along with it. Youth, remember that. As you begin to mature, and you can make more and more of your own decisions. Remember, with that comes an equal responsibility. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." That's not where Solomon stops. He says, "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." So we can enter our youth. Yes, there's freedoms. Yes, there's new opportunities. But God is going to judge us according to our works. Let's remember that. So use our freedom wisely. Let's consider the fruit of our decisions. Not only for ourselves, but those around us, those who are following us. Youth, you have a lot of little ones that idolize you and look up to you and want to be like you someday. Don't let them down. Be someone that they can look up to. Number 4, follow a godly example. That's a way you can build the church, is follow a godly example. And I titled this point, "Why Not, Dad?" How many of us have asked our dad the question, "Well, why not? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do this?" Tonight we're thinking of the context of our youth. So maybe it's the church that's saying no. And as a youth, it makes no sense why the church would say no to this or that. And I want to be clear that I think it's good if we know why we do the things that we do. But I want to read a story from Jeremiah 35. Maybe some of you Bible scholars knew this story was here, but it was kind of a new find for me. Jeremiah 35. It's the story of the Rechabites. And I found it challenging and interesting. Jeremiah 35, verse 1. Story of the Rechabites. Let's just read it here. Verse 1 to 11. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habzaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdali, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all the days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye may be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, unto all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for the fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. God was using this family as an example to Jeremiah. And God told Jeremiah to bring these people into one of the rooms in the house of God and give them wine to drink. So Jeremiah brings these people in and sets them down and serves them wine. And verse 6 is their response. It says, But they said, We will drink no wine. Because, why? Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Now, is that a good enough reason to not drink wine? If there was ever a situation that it would seem right when the man of God brings you into the house of God, into one of the chambers, and serves you wine, wouldn't that be, there was any place to go against what Dad had said, wouldn't it have been at that point? But they said, no, we're not going to. God, or our father, cared about our spiritual well-being, and he commanded them not to drink wine, not to plant vineyards or crops or to build houses. And that was their reason for not. Dad said it. Now, that's hard for us sometimes. We take a situation, we take something that comes up in church life, and it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to do it this way. Do we love our fathers enough that we can do some things that maybe don't make perfect sense to us? And I just come back to the three different groups of people we have up here on the board. As youth, there's experienced people in the church, people who have gone before us who maybe understand some things that we don't, and have some ideas that maybe if we sit and listen, we can learn something from them. And I know that when I was in the youth, people would say, well, you just wait and you'll maybe understand sometime in the future. And I thought that was a really poor answer when I was in the youth. But I just want to remind you again tonight, youth, that when you sit on the bench with your children beside you, things look a little different than they do when you're sitting up front without anyone beside you. So I just ask you to give respect to the older people. Maybe there's some things that don't quite make sense, but let's respect them anyway. And yes, there's time for us to look at things and evaluate. That's another whole subject. But my point here tonight is the way youth can build the church is not to always be saying, well, I don't see the purpose of it. There's no biblical principle. I don't see any reason to submit to that. And that just tears down the church. But we can build the church when we have respect for our fathers. Number five, let's build with solid materials. We all know the fictitious story of the three little pigs, but there's some truth in that story. The temptation is to build with inferior materials. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This gives us a material list that we can use for building. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to read verse 9 through 14. How can the youth build the church today? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." What a privilege we have as people of God to co-labor, to work with God in building the church. Ye are God's, verse 9, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than in that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Let's stop reading there. A couple of thoughts I want to take from these verses. And how can the youth build the church today? Let's labor together with God. This is God's project. Let's take the opportunity of working together with him to build his kingdom. It's a privilege and an opportunity. Number two, let's build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Build on him. And then third thing we can pull out of these verses is to build with materials that will withstand the test of time. The three little pigs, they built with the straw and the sticks and the bricks. And there was only one that stood in the end. What are we using to build our lives on? Is it what's easy to come by, the path of least resistance, or is it costing us something to build in our lives? Let's think about that as youth. Number six, the way we can build the church is to run with patience. Verses Hebrews 12, we can probably quote those verses. I don't trust myself. I'll just turn to them. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Youth tonight, it's a long race. We're just starting out. In our youth, we're just starting out. We don't know how long that road ahead is. Richard Herr, a friend of mine, passed away this week at 86. A long race, but one that we can all look at and admire and inspire to be more like. Very vital into his 80s, teaching and preaching and just still going strong as God gave him health. Run with patience. Satan would like for us to carry weights that would weigh us down and tire us out. Youth, let's not carry those things that drag us down. Sometimes we carry things in our pockets that drag us down. If that's a problem for us, let's get rid of that. Get it out of our pocket. Talking about our phones, whatever it may be, that's just an example. Let's lay aside those weights because the race is long and we need the energy, we need the strength. Satan would like to trip us up and make us fall. And sometimes we do fall. I recognize that. We're humans. But we can get back up again. We can press on in that race. And if we fall again, we can get back up again. And we can get up again. That's the beauty of this Christian race. And that's where we need the brotherhood to help us get back up and get back on the path again. And of course, looking unto Jesus. I love verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. He's the one that we're striving for. He's the one that we're living for. He's the one that we're building for. Jesus has run this race before us. He knows the temptations we face, even as youth. Yes, his temptations may have been different than ours, But he was tempted in all points like as we are, the Bible tells us. So we can run this race with patience, looking to Jesus for our strength and energy in life. So tonight, youth, I just want to again encourage you to keep on faithful in your journey. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep finding your identity, your security in this brotherhood. Find your inspiration from this brotherhood. Use your energy to build the brotherhood here, the kingdom of God at large, whatever it may be. There's so much that you can contribute to the kingdom of God with your youth, with your energy, with your vigor. And don't trade out for the cheap things that this world has to offer, the temporal things. Don't allow that to consume your energy, but throw it into something that will last, and God will bless you for it. God bless you all.